Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. And Michael, I have a confession. I think I did press your mute button in that previous episode because I noticed that when I'm adjusting the dial on the intro music, that my ring finger is hovering directly over the mute button. And okay. So I must have pressed it. So yeah, that was me. Sorry about that.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, that's Michael.
This is part two.
Yep. I'm Alan Gigax, and this is Classes of Male, and we are going to read more questions from the mailbag. That last one went so well, and we are going to get right into it with, we start with a letter of warning. So, any advice on how we can grieve this? I scanned several packages at the office on a Sunday due to businesses that were closed. All right. So, it starts out...
Well, we kind of explained that in the last episode.
We did. I want to see how you attack this grievance specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an interesting situation. Well, I'm curious to get your thoughts on it.
Sure.
All right. So we'll go over this letter of warning. This carrier got a letter of warning and the charge, this is a disciplinary letter. This official disciplinary letter of warning is being issued to you for the following reason. Charge: improper conduct, falsification/integrity scan in the office.
How is this falsification?
Well, it's going to get into that in the letter of warning.
That's the part you got to think about.
Oh, right.
How is this falsification?
Right. Did I scan it in a way that is false?
False.
Is it false? Aha!
So I don't think it's false. Well, you're doing what you're supposed to do.
So we're going to get into that.
Already, management failure there.
I've read ahead a little bit, and I think you're onto something already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it goes on. A review of the scanning report for July 3rd, for date, blah, 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 reveals you scanned 6 Amazon packages at such and such post office at the same time at 4:29 p.m. and another package at 4:21 p.m. with false scans as delivery attempted, no access. All right, and then it lists the scans here, the tracking number, where they were supposed to go, you know, stuff like that. And then...
Again, what faults?
Yeah.
What are you lying about?
Well, that's a great question. So let's get into management's now claims.
Okay.
All right. So they go on. You failed to follow the integrity scanning instructions to scan at the actual location. No package should be scanned in the office after 11 a.m. Following instructions and scanning all packages properly is a part of your requirements as a carrier. And now they get into the investigative interview. And I think there were decent answers here. During the investigative interview, when the supervisor asked what the reason was that you scanned these 7 packages at the post office, you responded, "The first reason, I had to go back to the office for a second round of packages because the first round in the morning my truck was too full. I had several packages upon my return for Route 10, and I knew these 6 packages were closed. I double-checked the Google map to make sure that by the time I got back to those businesses, they would be closed. So I was wondering what I should do with these packages since I was tight on time." And that's the end quote of the carrier's answer.
Well, it looks like management answered their own question.
It does look that way.
It sounds like there's no faults of fraud of any kind. The guy answered truthfully, saying that these businesses were closed.
Well, they were closed. That's right. Yeah.
It was truthful.
So management goes on. Management says, however, by scanning the packages for such and such business before their closing time at 5 o'clock, you provided false information for the customer. You should scan the packages at the actual location with correct information.
Okay. No. How do they know that the business is closed at 5 when the carrier says they were closed?
That's a very good question, right? Mm-hmm.
So what proof do they have?
Right. Management's going to have to prove their case because they have the burden in a discipline case. Right. What's their proof that that's the closing time on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Of that location.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And what instruction have they given to all carriers?
That's funny you should ask that, because that's the next paragraph. Mm-hmm. Management goes on to write, all carriers at the such and such post office have been instructed on the proper use of scanning procedures. Additionally, you have been placed on clear notice of your requirement to scan each package at the time of delivery. So I'll interrupt here to say, what's this notice, and can management prove that this carrier has been put on notice?
And again, how did they notify the carrier to do this in front of the house?
That's what it says. Right, right. Yeah, that's a great question. Right.
Warning matters on discipline letter. It's like that,
right.
That you were falsifying in front of the house.
Well,
how do they know?
Yeah, you've been placed on clear notice of your requirement to scan each package at the time of delivery. So, again, I think the carrier has a defense here.
Mm-hmm.
There was no time of delivery because it wasn't delivered.
Right.
It was at the time that I determined the place to be closed,
mm-hmm.
and they were, in fact, closed. I mean, that's the carrier's defense.
Right.
Okay, this is a reasonable requirement that allows the agency to measure the consistency of service provided to customers. In addition, all postal employees are required to follow the instructions of their supervisors. This is also a reasonable requirement that's necessary to maintain order in the workplace.
So, yes. Per Article 15, any procedure that's done every single day
uh-huh.
has been written. So where is this written instruction?
That's a great question. Right. That's part of your information request. Okay. Is like
any unilateral change in the postal services has to be done right. in writing.
Yeah. So this where scanning this integrity that you mm-hmm. can't scan business clothes, whether they're closed or not,
mm-hmm.
you can't scan it at the station. Where's that policy?
Yeah. Right. Where is that policy?
That's a great question. All right. Okay. They go on.
And is it approved with the union also?
They're going to cite some regulations here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to that.
Okay.
Your failure to follow reasonable management instructions related to proper scanning, which negatively impacted the agency's ability to track delivery times, constitutes unacceptable work performance that cannot and will not be tolerated.
Okay. What work performance did he fail?
That's a great,
he scanned
the scanning integrity. Right. But he did scan it. And
he scanned it.
And he scanned it. We would make the argument that he scanned it accurately.
Yeah.
That it was, in fact, closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. What's the problem?
That's a great question. Well, let's see. Mm-hmm. So your actions violate ELM 665.15. Employees must obey the instructions of their supervisors.
What instruction was the supervisor given to the carrier on that day?
Well, it would be to scan... as they say, scan where you stand.
Did they give that instruction that day?
Probably not. It sounds to me like their claim is that it's a standing instruction. But also, the follow the instructions of your supervisor, I think, is too broad
right.
in this case. Like,
so yeah. Here's the thing is, when you're giving an instruction to a carrier, they're supposed to do it on that day, right?
Okay.
Not something from a year ago.
Right. It means like if I tell you to do something right now, if I tell you to go stand in that corner, you're going to go stand in that corner.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as it's reasonable.
Right.
So is this a reasonable instruction that was given? No, because there was no instruction given.
Well, and so the second, right, because management has to demonstrate that mm-hmm. they actually gave that instruction, that it's in the handbook or whatever. Right.
Because again, unilateral change, they have to have it written.
Right. Okay. So their second charge here. The second thing they cite is the M41 carrier section 112.21, obey the instructions of your manager. This is the same thing.
Well, there is no instruction, so therefore there is what instruction did they need to follow? Secondly, he was supposed to scan all packages.
You know
and he
what?
Did.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just read through the rest of these because there's a real theme here.
Okay.
ELM, this is sideways, so mm-hmm. bear with me here. All right. ELM, 665.13. Employees are expected to discharge their assigned duties conscientiously and effectively.
It sounds like the carrier actually consciously effective.
Well, it does.
All scanning right. it properly, saying
Let's
the business was closed.
ELM 665.11.
Okay.
Employees are expected to be loyal to the United States government and uphold the policies and regulations of the Postal Service.
It sounds like the policy that he followed, because what the management is saying that they gave a instruction previously, whenever that was, that he's supposed to remember.
Okay, next one.
Okay, but if it was on the same day, it would be a lot easier to remember.
It would. All right, ELM 661.21. Give a full day's labor for a full day's pay, giving to the performance of duties, earnest effort, and best thought.
So where is the proof that the carrier didn't give it a full day's?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
looks
exactly.
like the carrier did exactly what he's supposed to do. And from what he's saying in the investigative interview, that he came back to get more packages
right.
so he can do more work.
Yeah.
Sounds and like he's doing the job.
I'll go one step further because in his answer, he talks about trying to be more efficient
mm-hmm.
because he's on limited time and he knows those places are closed.
Wow. Sounds like he's being more efficient than what the management
well,
is saying.
So we get to the next one.
Wow.
M41 112.1, provide reliable and efficient service.
It sounds like he's efficient.
It does.
The business was closed.
And then M41 112.24, display a willing attitude and put forth a conscientious effort in developing skills to perform duties assigned.
Mm-hmm. So here's where is it. Was the carrier performing and to his conscious effort to make the job more effective?
Of course.
Because the carrier knew the business is closed, So he saved time by scanning at close instead of going to the place, okay, and scan at time. So he saved the post office time. And then he took other packages to do more work.
So
he's being punished for doing more work.
Yeah. I'll go you one step further. Okay. I'll attack this from a different angle and say that all of the regulations they cite are just about obedience. There's not a single regulation in there about scan where you stand or scanner integrity or anything about the scanner.
Yeah, nothing about the rules of scanning in front of the door.
Yeah, exactly. They don't cite any of those rules at all because there aren't any.
Exactly.
And in the defenses to discipline, you know one of the defenses is there a rule?
Right.
If there is, they didn't cite it in their discipline. Mm-hmm. And so that effectively means there isn't a rule.
And you also have to be corrective and not punitive. This sounds like they're just being punitive as somebody doing their job.
Right. And so it would be interesting if they note a previous 16-2 discussion because it kind of sounded like there might have been one.
You know, if I remember correctly, I think it's in section M39, section 115.1, using people effectively.
Oh, sure.
I think that. That is not using people effectively when you're trying to discipline somebody for doing their job.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
So I could use that as the contentions too. The carrier is doing his job and trying to do more work. Yet management's trying to discipline the carrier for some instruction that never was given.
Right, exactly. And I would also push back on the whole premise that the carrier put forward that I was like running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
No, it takes however long it takes.
Yeah. What I would do is also interview the carrier. Okay, ask the carrier, were you given this instruction on this day? And I would ask the carrier, hey, when you came back to the station, did the management tell you to gave you any instruction what to do? So I would ask all those questions because some of the questions will be, answers will be, well, when I came back, management told me to take all these parcels and go deliver that too. Sounds like he's following instructions.
It does sound that way. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we have a good defense here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, this is just a management just come doing nonsense because they were probably told to write some kind of discipline.
Right.
For nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Where in the contract does it explain when we have to move on to the street on the scanner? Management will make up new rules about when to do so. They said today we have a 30-minute time frame of when we move to the street, and within that time we have to cross the traffic light down the street so we don't go over, which of course made me laugh.
Okay, this is something that I talked about during the Zoom meeting.
Yep.
The
one with next generation carriers.
Right. Yep. And this is also something that being talked about from ADA arbitration about PET and DOAS.
Right, exactly. Okay? Yeah, and these bullshit time parameters.
So any time parameters, I'm going to tell you, this is something that I was hoping that maybe Corey Walton would have said, is that we had a memorandum 1664 says that management cannot use DOAS as the sole priority to say the numbers or times.
Right. Okay?
We had to have another memorandum, 1769, because management says, well, we're not using DOAS. We're using something else. So they had to create another memorandum saying that you cannot use any program or anything else that to create time because that is a carrier's duty to tell management the times. Okay?
Right.
And so they had to create another memorandum because management was trying to change the memorandum from 1664.
Right.
Okay? That's the reason why the 1769 exists. Okay? Why you see that there's two of them. Okay? But in reality, any time management tells you the time, you need to let the steward know immediately to file that grievance because they're not allowed to give you the times because it actually says in the 1769 that they will not use times to tell carriers that the office time or the street time.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Yep. Will not means, that's pretty clear, will not use. It's pretty clear.
It is. Okay?
And then, but management will also use saying that, well, as long as we don't give discipline, then we can do that. But there was a threat of discipline, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So first of all, there's a threat. What happens on threats? Then now that's a hostile work environment.
Right, yeah. And a JSOV.
And then now it comes to joint violence and behavior problem, which is, I think, 1452, and memorandum 1452, I think.
All right.
Somewhere around there, okay? But it's a joint statement of violence and behavior.
Yeah, just so you guys know, Michael's also doing all this just off the dome.
M39 section 115.4, which is
mutual respect
atmosphere.
Atmosphere, yep.
And because they're telling you what time they're going to do and creating a hostile work environment, so they have created a non-mutual environment,
right, right,
and created a hostile working environment, because now basically they're telling the time means is that they want you to run. And because they want you to run, that's violating the safety rules, which is also Article 14, because it is management's responsibility to make sure to provide a safe working environment to all employees. Right. So when they're telling you to run where you can get in an accident, they're violating the Article 14 also.
Rushing is not safe.
Rushing is not safe.
It is not.
Okay? No. And that is why we've won so many grievances in arbitration because of this. And that is why the Memorandum 1769 exists, because they've created... And try to make carriers run.
This also goes back to the discussion you had about preventive grievances, mm-hmm. where, yeah, management isn't going to issue discipline on this because they can't. It would never hold up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still grieve it even if they're not issuing discipline because all these reasons.
Yep. Because they're causing hostile work environment.
Right, exactly.
And you got to stop the causing hostile work environment. And now they're going to tell you the street times are 30 minutes and they're saying loading time is 22 minutes.
Right.
And then, or in the office, they'll write on the whiteboard, your office time is 45 minutes on the whiteboard and you better make it, or kind of all that. They're all hostile work environment type of grievances.
Right.
And the violation of Memorandum 1769, because it says they will not use any programs that you that
right,
cause,
the
that
sole
has
determinant sole determinant time
of the street
time
or office
yeah.
time.
Good one, Michael. Dude, you got moving on that one.
Yeah, you know, let's do Corey Walton on Formato Arbitration.
Absolutely.
He's been, I think this is, what, three episodes?
Yeah,
four episodes he's done on that too?
His Lion's Den episodes have been mm-hmm. great about this Dois and
because
Pet.
This is something that management
informative.
Is using nationwide, and this is how you fight it.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so this is part of a longer email that's generally seeking advice, but this is the relevant section. This carrier is a PTF. And they're very close to converting to full-time regular and getting their own route. And they've been working Amazon Sundays. And the carrier is concerned that, like, normally CCAs are the ones who work Amazon Sundays, and PTFs don't usually have to. But the carrier thinks, he says, it feels like they just want me for Sundays because I'm one of the better carriers. I'm not sure what to do. I've made plans on Sundays because I assumed I was going to become regular. Since that was the trend, that a route goes unclaimed and then it gets, so there were like vacant routes were in his installation. Can I get disciplined for calling out on Sundays only? Normally I don't call out since I'm trying to save my sick and annual leave. Any help would be appreciated. By the way, I average about 50 hours a week and there's 10 PTFs in my office. So there are plenty of people to go around for the Sunday Amazon.
Okay, I can answer this too.
Yes.
PTFs are the first choice on any time.
Yeah,
up to 40 hours.
Right, right.
Okay.
They have to get the hours before the CCAs do.
Yes.
So that's not the issue.
Okay.
Right.
So since you're working 50 hours, so obviously you're getting your time.
Right.
Because the Sunday's making it to you to go to 50 hours because during the week, obviously you're working 8 hours a day.
Right.
Okay. And so they've already covered your base and make sure you get your 40 hours that week.
Right. So that's not necessarily, although Sunday comes early in the week.
Right.
And okay, go on.
Okay. And so you can call in on Sundays.
Yeah.
But have you tried to talk to management and say, hey, I need the Sunday off?
That's a good question. And that's something that I would tell the CCAs at my station mm-hmm. is, look, if you need a particular day off, don't call in. Tell management.
Yeah.
Give them a chance to just schedule you off.
Right. So let's say you worked 7 days in a row. And then if you work this Sunday, that will be 8 days in a row. Okay? You are extremely tired.
Yeah.
You tell that to management, hey, I'm extremely tired. So if I work this Sunday, that's my 8th day in a row. And I don't know if I can take it anymore. My body is getting extremely tired. Can you make sure that I don't work on this Sunday?
Right. Okay?
If management still has you work on that Sunday...
No, boy.
That would be a safety violation.
Oh, sure. Because you've told them that have exhaustion. Interesting.
And so at that point, they should make the effort to find somebody else to work on that Sunday because you already told management that you don't feel safe to drive on that day.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I get the argument because I would tell CCAs at the end of long shifts, you know, that like, look, if management wants you to work beyond, like they would work on past 12 hours.
Now, a lot of managers said, well, if you're going to leave or whatever, I want to see a doctor's note. No, this, you don't need a doctor's note because, again, doesn't right. fit the days of more than 3 days, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're not, then they're not on restricted sick leave.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. And so, and you're not on restricted sick leave. So therefore, but if you know how your body's working and you know that you've worked 8 days in a row,
right?
You know you're extremely tired. Okay. Because obviously if you work overtime, means you've already had a total of 10 hours, 8 hours sure. a day of free time to sleep.
Yeah,
so trust me, if this gets filed in a grievance and they see the amount of hours you worked, they're going to say, yeah, this person needed a time off. Why didn't you give it to them?
That's an interesting approach to it. Sure. Yeah.
Because we're all human.
Yeah, on my last...
We're not robots.
On my last 3971, mm-hmm. I put exhaustion mm-hmm. on the, you know, in the remarks mm-hmm. that, you know, the heat has gotten to me and you know, what are they going to do? I mean, I'm incapacitated for duty, mm-hmm. right? And that's the standard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you're incapacitated to work, you're supposed to be able to call in. So including Sundays. So right. if they have you scheduled on a Sunday, on the schedule.
Yeah, you can call in just like any other day.
And you can call in just like any other day for that Sunday.
Yeah. Now,
the problem is this.
The pattern.
The light blue sometimes doesn't allow you to be able to do it on Sunday.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. Okay? Yeah.
So you have to call it in to let management know.
Okay, so you actually have to call the station or whatever.
Yeah, so you may have to do that. Okay. Yeah. And so that's the issue there. Okay?
Right.
And what was your...
Oh, it was if you're just calling in on Sundays, it's a pattern.
Oh, yeah.
And management can try to issue discipline for that,
because
too.
Because of patterns say that you're purposely abusing the sick leave at
right,
that point.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's steps, you know, like they should put you on restricted sick leave if mm-hmm. they think you're abusing it.
Right.
Yep. Okay, last one. Go ahead.
And it is up to them to show proof to put you on restricted sick leave.
That is correct.
And they cannot put you on restricted sick leave whenever they feel like it. They have to follow the procedure to do that.
Yes, they do. Okay, last one, and this will give us a chance to pontificate a little bit before we get out of here. This person writes, I know you also would appreciate improved service standards given what you've said on previous podcasts. Also, I'm reading this as written. It kind of just starts. Also, given that we're a public service, I believe we should be the best, and we should always do our best delivering our core brand, letter mail. It makes me depressed that first-class letters take 2 days to go to the neighboring town. What can we as letter carriers do to ensure and advocate for next-day first-class delivery to be a thing again? Thanks.
There is absolutely nothing that we can do.
That is correct. That is not up to us at all. That not is even
up to
a little bit.
That is up to the Postal Service to change that program.
Right. Okay?
It is our last Postmaster General changed that where it can take more than 2 days
right.
for the first class mail.
DeJoy slowed down first class
mail. Because as you guys know, remember, first class mail, they send it, like, let's say today in the morning, and then you can, if it's a local, you might be able to get it the next day.
Right.
Well, that's no more.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is created by the Postmaster General that we had, last one that we had. And so you will not get that in 1 day at all. Okay. There's still a chance. There's still a chance, but most likely it will not happen.
Right. And so this is part of the general slowing down of the service. Mm-hmm. But what I want to get into a little bit is this pride of service as a carrier. Because while you and I and the listener cannot control how long it takes to get mail from one city to another, what we can control is the way we treat somebody's package when we drop it at their front door.
Not kicking it or...
Right. Not kicking throwing it, throwing it. Exactly. Yeah. Not driving across somebody's lawn in your LLV.
Right.
And not yelling at their dog and not, you know, slamming their gate. And all of these things that are just part of being courteous. Mm-hmm. You know, with certified letters, go to the door, knock on the door, wait for the person to answer. Hey, I have a certified letter that needs a signature. Actually get the green card signed. There are so many little things that we can do to do a better service for our customers that will add value to the postal brand. And that's kind of what this question is getting at. Because if the way people's attitudes have changed about the postal service, some of it has to do with the slower speed, but the post office has been slow in the past, and it's not really affected.
Well, we used to have Pony Express.
Yeah, I mean, it used to take a week to get the mail to the neighboring town, right? And people still loved the post office. A lot of it is really shitty customer service mm-hmm. and not taking care of your customers. And when they say, like, hey, only the Johnsons live here, can you please only deliver Johnson mail? Maybe we should do that.
Well, if you're the regular and
yeah.
like me, I deliver by last name only.
Right.
So if it's Johnson, that person will, that Johnson will get that mail. But right. if it's Smith, they're not getting the Smith mail.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem is when on my day off, somebody else delivers or CCA delivers, they deliver by street numbers.
Yeah. And that's where
that's when they get the wrong mail.
Right. And so we have, like, I deliver to a small strip mall,
mm-hmm.
and there are three or four businesses that either have outgoing mail or outgoing packages. And so I will let the subs know, you know, hey, please make sure you check in these businesses. And then they don't. And so now this customer who's trying to give us money doesn't get their package picked up that day. And that's the kind of stuff that's really hurting our brand. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I have this outgoing package. Can you take it for me? And you tell them no. That's what's hurting our brand. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, if it's a UPS package, fine. Hey, mm-hmm. does this shirt look brown to you? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a USPS package.
Well, that's rude too, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's joking.
Right. But that's what builds our brand mm-hmm. is that service, that being part of the community, taking yeah. time to talk to people, taking time to just be a member of the community.
And don't get me wrong. Some people, you just can't please them no matter what.
Yeah. There will always be those people. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, management has completely let go of customer service.
Yeah, they care more about speed yeah, than they do customer
speed.
Service.
Yeah. Okay? But, dude, but
and,
the truth
and they
is,
still don't understand that is what's killing the post
yes,
office.
That is correct. Yeah, because the amount of time it takes to just be courteous, it saves a lot of problems on the back end. Like, you know, management spends so much time just answering the phone and answering emails, fielding customer complaints. Yeah.
So when management says, hey, you know, the post office keeps losing money, I said, that's your fault, not ours.
It's true.
Why is that? And they're going to say, why yeah. is that? Well, that you're worried about speed and more than customer service.
Right.
So you train all the CCAs and all the new people to run
right.
and not actually the customer service. And you're wondering why people don't like the post office? That's you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as you know, most regulars, they deliver correctly. They, don't, yeah. they rarely ever get complaints until a CCA or somebody else is delivering on that route.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you've been a regular for any length of time, mm-hmm. you know that, like, when you go on vacation and you come back, people are like, oh, my God, thank God you're back.
Yeah.
The mail was such a disaster while mm-hmm. you were gone.
I got my neighbor's mail. I got somebody right. else from the other street with mail.
That's yeah. exactly it. And that just little bit of care mm-hmm. and attention goes so far into helping to rebuild our brand. And you will never get disciplined for it.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever will you get disciplined for just double checking and making sure that mail's going into the right box. You know, in all the time that I was a steward, I don't think I ever once had to defend a carrier where management tried to discipline them for going too slow out on the street and like trying to give too much customer service. I don't think like it would have to be really exceptional. You know, but the whole idea of like, oh, I don't have time to, like even stupid shit, like I don't have the time to curb my wheels when I park. Of course you have the time. That's the time it takes to do the job right. And it's the same with picking up that outgoing mail, with knocking on the door, with setting the package down rather than throwing it. You know, we're talking about a few seconds here, but that's what really needs to be done to get the post office on track and make it the beloved institution that we signed up to be part of.
All right. Well, we're pretty much done on the mailbag, but I wanted to go over a few episodes ago where we talked about 271G.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And,
sure.
And we talked about on the 271G during the 6-week period of the December. You don't use December. And
right.
I mentioned saying that hey, you don't have to do that in June, July, August.
Right.
Okay. That's because of M39 Section 211.1. It is a unit and route review that management does yearly. So the one they always do, they say, hey, this is something that we have to do yearly.
Right, right.
You've heard that many times,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And so this is what they're talking about, the annual
right.
one. But these inspections will be conducted between the first week of September and May 31st, including December. So May 31st is
excluding
the last one.
December, you mean.
Excluding December.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's from September to May.
Right.
Sounds
so
like it's missing June through August.
Right. But this is for regular 6-day count route inspections.
No.
Or just regular inspections of any kind.
Yeah. Yep. This is a regular review.
Right.
Each annual review and so forth.
Right.
So They're excluding that. Okay, the reason that 271G is does not exclude June, July, August is that if your mail is over during the summertime, you really are over.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's carrier initiated.
Okay. And so that, therefore, you definitely need to get the 271G done. Right. You just cannot use the December time because we know you're over in December because of Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I think we did it, dude.
Yeah.
Another successful episode.
More clarification from that one, you know?
Yeah.
Because yes, I didn't mention it. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, dude. It's worth making sure we get the right information out there. Sometimes I feel like I want to go back and re-record like my first 10 episodes. A, because the sound quality is a lot better now. But I know things have changed. Like I had one of my most downloaded episodes. I think it's like my third most downloaded episode is scanner features that nobody told you about. Since the time that episode released, like, a bunch of those features, like it used to have move left, no address on there, used to be able to look up forwards. That stuff's not even on there anymore.
Yeah. And there's more stuff that's added to the scanner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's probably worth a redo. And by the way, listeners, if you are a new listener to Classes of Mail, go back and listen to that early stuff because that's the foundation of how to do the job the right way.
But if you wanted to go back where me and Alan was doing it, that was more like about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Dude, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. All right. So
ever since before Boston Convention.
Yeah, that's true. It does go back to before. Yeah. And that's been more than a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at us, man. Getting it done.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We will catch you all next time.